This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
That song will make me feel good every single morning. And good morning to you all on a Friday. Friday,
baby.
Boy, do I have a lot of numbers in front of me that look like poo.
We don't need to go over those this morning. We know the Royals now through 20 games are an 0-2 football team, right? I mean, I think it's safe to say that, right? It's an 0-2 football team, right?
Sweet. Let's talk WrestleMania.
All right, let's do that. Who's going to be in the ring? Is it going to be Q and Zumwalt versus the umpire last night, or Jazz Chisholm versus that umpire last night? Let's go.
You know, I hate Jazz Chisholm. We all know that, right?
Yeah, you do.
He had a fair case last night.
He really did.
I'd have gotten thrown out of that game in the next game.
Yeah. He probably gets suspended for a while because I think he did throw his helmet at the umpire at one point in that game last night. And so Zumwalt got tossed with one pitch left in the game as well. So light a fire, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, Q told us on Wednesday, you know, I can't just go in there like Bull Durham and throw. Maybe you do need to throw some bats in the shower.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to do something. Good Lord. You ready for him? You ready for these putrid numbers?
Hit me.
All right. Well, I'll hit you harder than the Royals can. The Royals currently rank 29th in offense.
That high.
You know who's worse?
The Rockies.
You know who the worst team in baseball is?
The Rockies.
Okay.
Yeah, they're bad, yeah.
The Royals rank in the MLB 28th.
The Rockies fired their hitting coach, by the way, yesterday.
Sure they did. They needed to.
Yeah.
The Royals rank 28th in hits, 28th in average, 28th in slug, 29th in OPS, and 30th in home runs.
They're not going to win you a lot of games.
No, sir.
No. They haven't scored more than 4 runs since April 4th, folks. I mean, that's it right there, right? Like, you have not scored more than 4 runs since April the 4th, and here we sit on April the 18th. Ooh, that's a long time.
They currently sit 8-12, 3.5 games out of first place. They're 1-6 on this 10-game road trip. 3 games left. You play Tarik Skubal on Sunday. Good luck with that.
That'll be the game they win.
They average 5.5 men left on base. Last night, they left 10. Bases loaded, nobody out, 0 runs. First inning, 2 on, nobody out, 0 runs. They are negative 27 run differential in their last 7 games.
Yeah, that's not good. You're not going to win a lot of games doing that. You got to be on the plus side if you want to win.
Okay. Those are just the stats.
Those are just the basic stats too, and that's really all you need to kind of paint the picture of what these first 20 games have been from an offensive standpoint. I mean, when you're comparing them to the Colorado Rockies, Dusty, that's not a good comparison. As much as I like their ballpark, their team is not very good, and their organization is not doing things the right way in Colorado. Not that we're comparing that, but you just don't want to be compared to the Colorado Rockies and whatnot. The concerning thing for me is what I was reading in Annie Rogers' column at MLB.com this morning. And it was kind of some eye-opening stuff where the runners in scoring position, as you mentioned yesterday, what were they, 0-for-10 or something like that?
They had 10 men left on base.
10 men left on base. I think they were 1-for-12 or something like that. They got that run in the eighth inning that people got excited about yesterday. But I will say that their average with runners in scoring position, they're 221. Annie Rogers said they were at 282 last year with runners in scoring position. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, it felt like every time there was a runner on last year, runner on second or third, somebody would come up and knock them in. And it was almost like a given that they would get out there and they would score those runs once you got somebody to second and third. And it was almost, 30% of the time, which is great in Major League Baseball, obviously. But now you're not getting runners in. You're not moving runners over. You're not scoring. I mean, thank God the pitching has been good. Could you imagine if we had the pitching staff of 2 years ago and this hitting lineup right now? I don't know that you'd have 8 wins, Dusty. I don't know that you'd have any wins on the season if the pitching staff wasn't, again, as we keep saying, World Series pitching and minor league hitting. I mean, that's kind of where we are right now with this organization. And so thank God the pitching has been there because they've been stellar. I mean, again, even last night, Lorenzen wasn't fantastic. Gave you an opportunity to win a baseball game, though. I mean, you've got to find ways to score runs.
It's lifeless. Like, we always do the one word, and we'll do that later on at 7:30. But,
yeah,
you know, describing this offense is lifeless. Like, there's just nothing whatsoever of any sort of spark anywhere. It's, you know, and it's brutal to watch because, like, even, like, Hud and Lefevre are running out of things to say to, like, support the team. Like, you know, if I have to hear one more time, like, oh, it's another hard hit ball, Rhino, right to a guy, they'll break out of it. Okay.
Yeah, that gets old after a while. Yeah. That's the stuff that I don't care about your heart hit rate. Yeah,
well, just be real.
It doesn't matter. Your heart hit rate is irrelevant. You know, it's all about getting hits, getting on base, and scoring runs. I hate the heart hit rate. That's what like teams that are losing and not doing good. That's what the announcers revert back to try to cover up for a team being bad. Oh, it's a hard hit rate. They're really squaring. Nah, they're not. They're not getting hits. I mean, and we can't do that. And I think at one point last night, I got a text from somebody. LaFever said, "See ball, hit ball." He's like even like reducing himself to where I am at this point in time with the C-ball, hit ball. But I think that Vinny stuff that we talked about yesterday, guys, is really paramount in all of this, because I would imagine Vinny's the only one that's not feeling totally lost at the plate and totally confused and totally just out of it, you know, at the plate right now. It feels like they're all out of it. They're all confused. They're all gonna go, what the hell is going on? We have no idea. So I think that Vinny comment that we heard yesterday from MLB TV or whatever it is a bigger picture for me than just Vinny Pasquantino, because I think that's probably the feeling that everybody in that lineup has, and that off day on Monday is going to be brioche for them. I mean, they're going to need that off day more than probably they've needed an off day in the last couple of years.
Yeah, they definitely need it. You know, it's what is it that Bill Self said when they were going through their troubles? Like, this team just needs to get away from each other.
Yeah,
they just need to
true.
Have some time to, yep. you know, regurgitate what has been this start, because it hasn't been great. But like we had said yesterday, if you continue to keep slipping the way that they are, they're going to lose the interest of the city if they haven't lost already 50% of that, because it seems like the text line is pretty in sync with what they feel.
Yeah.
They told us this was a playoff team. They did nothing to get any batting or offense for this roster, and it's clearly showing. I can't disagree with the text line on that. They tried.
They tried.
They didn't.
Yep.
I don't need to hear that they tried anymore. They didn't. They didn't get
anybody.
It's not just, you know, Cody and Gold talked about yesterday. It's like, yeah, you can sit here and complain and moan and gripe about, you know, Renfro, Melendez. It's everybody
right.
outside of Bobby Witt Jr. I'll throw Michael Garcia and Kyle Isbell in there as well. But if you had told me at the beginning of the year that this team's best three hitters in their first 20 games, because we're 20 games in now,
right.
they're 8-12,
yep.
that their three best hitters would have been Bobby Witt Jr., Kyle Isbell, and Michael Garcia, I'd have told you, when do they get to St. Joe?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And I think you're thinking to yourself there, too, it would be a bad joke if you would have told me something like that. I'd be like, now you're out of your mind. Now, Vinny's going to have a nice year. He's coming back from that injury. Look how good he was last year. Build on that. Salvador Perez, you know, continues to move forward to his Hall of Fame career. He's going to be just fine. I love Jonathan India at the top of the lineup. But yeah, I mean, when your top three hitters are Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, and Kyle Isbell, you know, things are not moving in the right direction. And so I know fans are frustrated right now, and I think you should be, because again, as we keep mentioning, they said they were going to be a playoff team, and at 8-12 right now, they're not showing the signs of life to be a playoff team. The pitching has been outstanding, but the hitting has to get there. And if the hitting doesn't pick up fast, they're going to be finding themselves behind a huge hole, and they may not be a playoff team this year. But sometimes that's just the way it works. Sometimes you go up, you go back down, and then you take that big step forward next year, and that's the year that you look forward to. But I know fans were really looking forward to this season, right? Imagine the Chiefs coming out of the gate 0-2, guys, right? How upset would fans be if the Chiefs came out of the gate 0-2? You've been looking forward to the season all year long, and boom, you're 0-2 going, damn, what the hell went wrong in those first 2 weeks? Well, that's where we are with the Royals. Through 20 games, they're an 0-2 football team, and you're thinking to yourself, dang, man, all this went wrong. I was looking forward to this, and this is what we have now. It's not so good.
And they tell you in football, too, that if you start off 0-2, the likelihood of you making the playoffs
that's
is
exactly
very
right.
slim.
Yep.
Like, it's always teams that start 0-2, like 30% of those teams end up making the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
And again, it goes back to, you know, what we were built on to start this season. This is a playoff team. We're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. We're going to make the playoffs. Okay, you're digging yourself into a hole that eventually is going to take half or three-fourths of a season to dig out of.
That's right.
And I heard Vern's pregame show last night, and, you know, this isn't a team that's just trying to get by and make a wild card team. This was a team that was supposed to win the division. Mm-hmm. This is a team that's supposed to be a surefire locked playoff team, and they aren't that. They just simply aren't that, and it gets to the point now where it's like, you know, bases loaded, nobody out, zero runs. All right, let's see who's trying to beat Bobby Flay on the Food Network.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's where attention goes. That's where mine went. That's where.
What inning did you check out last night? Be honest with yourself.
Seventh inning. Bottom of the seventh.
Okay.
And then I went to my room. I got the bed ready, turned the TV on, put Netflix toggled on, go in the living room, would turn the TV off. Oh, it's now 6-1. Yeah. Okay.
See, I checked out after the top of the sixth. I'm like, all right, I'm out on this one. Everybody Loves Raymond had a nice episode on last night that I was wanting to watch. Nice. I was kind of bouncing Choose around peace. And, you know, that kind of, maybe that's what you have to do. I mean, you know, yeah. if they're not giving you a reason to stay and hang out, there's no reason to stay and hang out. So going to a party, they ran out of beer. There's no food left. And you're like, man, I'm out of here, leave. Man. Yeah. I'm done. Peace out. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of where I felt last night, and I don't have any shame in that. And now we got a weekend coming up. Get me to the TV. Probably going to be tough, especially you know, with the Tiger series and everything else that's going on in the world right now. Like, you know, it's just like, if it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not, type of thing, you know. And that's not where you want fans, you know, on the 18th of April. It's really not where you want fans already saying peace out. You know, I'll see you at the draft party.
Yeah, if I wasn't on Rob's big deck, I wouldn't have watched as much as I had.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and speaking of Rob Maloney, people on the text line think he would be a better manager right now than Q. We got that text about an hour ago to the text line. Rob Maloney would do a better job of managing this team right now. I don't know who texted that in. I don't necessarily agree with that text. I've been to a lot of his restaurants. I've seen the way things are managed at times. Not exactly Hall of Fame style, Rob.
Feel those bus tires.
But I mean,
went forward and reverse and went forward again.
This is where fans are right now. We're suggesting our local bar managers to be the manager of the ball club right about now, yeah. right? So, Rob, if you want the job, go for it, my man.
But if you want, we can talk Seth Rollins versus CM Punk versus Roman Reigns main event on night one, WrestleMania. Gunther versus Jey Uso. Yeet, yeet, yeet.
Where is WrestleMania?
Good question, Iguana.
Thank you. Do we have It seems like we have WrestleMania all the time.
It's in Vegas.
Is it? That's right. It is in Las Vegas. I saw some of the.
Our buddy Drew, that's Downright Delicious Cooking, got off his plane yesterday. He's got front row seats for.
Oh, he's
gonna,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's gonna be you sick,
add
dude.
Some pepper. Boom.
Boom.
But yeah. So I promise you this: no Royals talk. Pretty much for the entire day. Because the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs spoke yesterday, and running back is going to be an option. Plus, you know, there's 12 to 13 guys in the first round.
So yeah, that's exactly
right. Never know what's going to happen, but the draft is less than a week away. We dive into what the GM BV had to say yesterday on the airwaves here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Vesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Gen Z Seinfeld, slapping the bass, hitting the bass harder than a baseball is being hit by the Kansas City Royals currently. I don't kid. Dusty, yes. What about Jack Caglione? Well, I mean, more power to him. He ought to be up on the major league roster. He's hitting .224
in Double A.
I'm not sure this team that's currently in the major leagues could hit in Double A. Yeah. Vinny Pasquantino, .188, one home run. Merv, .085, one home run. Hunter Renslow, .116, zero home runs. Caglione combined, three home runs, more than all three of those guys.
Yeah.
Perfect time to call Caglione up, if you ask me. But, I mean, he'd be your fourth best hitter on your roster.
If he's hitting .222 in the Double A,
.224, put some respect on his name.
Sorry, .224.
Put some respect on his name. .224
in Double A. What does that translate to the big leagues? Merv or Renfro?
Better than Vinny, Merv, and Renslow.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, Vinny's the one that really bothers me the most, man. Like, what's going on there?
Steve Ballmer or Royals manager, I'm all in, says Rob Maloney.
That's right.
Steve Ballmer, that's great.
Maloney's willing to take off over the 8-12 sinking ship. That is the Kansas City Royals.
From the 816, I listened while walking my dog after dinner. I had to turn it off after the top of the sixth.
That's when I was done, too. That's fine. And it's
was
okay.
That the bases loaded, nobody out?
I don't remember what it was. I just remember they had some guys on or something, and they didn't score. And I'm like, all right, I'm done here. We're good for the night.
Yeah.
And go
out of mind, out of sight.
Yep. And that's not where you want them. That's the worst thing that could happen. Yep. Once they're out of mind, out of sight, out of mind, however you say it, it's hard to get them back in. And you know, we've talked all week about losing the fan base and losing the city. And, you know, this weekend doesn't go well. It'll be all draft talk, all kinds of draft talk, all kinds of arm length and, you know, all kinds of crap that people want to talk about with the draft. It'll be front and center all next week. If they don't win, you know, two or three of these next three games, is going to be all draft talk, and rightfully so. You've got to earn your spot on the show, right? You've got to earn your keep. And if you're not playing good baseball, well, everybody's going to pass you by. We're going to talk about who the new Chief's going to be.
Yeah, or the Cam Ward Fortnite audio.
Yeah.
We're going to have something.
Or WrestleMania, or Max 5 minutes of the NBA. Which yes.
No, nobody wants that.
Oh, yeah. You want that, yeah. Or you want the Royals offense?
At this point, I still want the Royals offense, I don't need the NBA kind of stuff, right? Yeah.
Well, slap my mouth and call me Draft Daddy.
No doubt about it.
Speaking
of Draft Daddy, Brett Veach was on Cody and Gold because he was live doing his Zoom meeting. I can't see anybody.
Yeah.
Is what we heard first.
That's awesome.
This was Veach on first round talent.
It's probably a tick down. I think typically in years past, that number's been anywhere from 15 to 18, even 19. I think the last I checked, it was right around 12 or 13. So it is lower, although I will say this, in that secondary wave of guys that, you know, are in the late round, high two consideration, that number's probably a little higher. So hopefully that provides a little bit more flexibility on both ends. So I think that top end number is just a tick down from years past. And I think have a pretty consistent game plan year in and year out. And if one of those guys, however unlikely it is that we have in that 12 or 13 or 14 number range, if they were to fall into a reasonable landing spot, I'm sure we would make some calls. And typically it's unlikely to happen, but we all know a few years ago it did happen with Trent McDuffie and we were able to do that. So that will be kind of our mindset again, and we'll see if it works out. I don't think it'd make too much sense for us to, you know, we need all these picks and we need to add depth on multiple fronts and the secondaries and receivers. So trading multiple picks to just get one piece doesn't really make sense. But I think if a guy we really like does fall into the 20s and it's reasonable, I think we'll be aggressive. Otherwise, I think we'll be happy with adding players at each round and multiple players in three.
So what he basically is saying is we could trade up, we could trade back, we could stay where we are, right? Is that kind of what we're looking at? The thing that stood out to me, and I don't know if you guys kind of caught this as well, the 12 to 13 first-round players. I mean, that is a small number, and even Brett talked about that being a small number of first-round players. Where has all the talent gone, right? Didn't Paula Cole sing about the Cowboys one time? Where have all the Cowboys gone? Where's all the talent gone in college football, right? I think we're spending so much time worried about portals and NIL money that maybe we're not developing the talent anymore, you know, and getting these guys out there. 12 to 13 players in all of the draft are first round talents. That's really, really weak, right? That's a really weak number right now. So if the Chiefs stay where they are and you go based on that, their first round pick is essentially a third round pick at this point in time, right? 12 to 13 first rounders. How many second rounders are out there?
He said there was a more tier two talent, so
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
So maybe there's more second round talent that falls.
Maybe, but still, I mean, you're picking, you know, 31, and that's why people get mad all the time. I don't know why they're picking 31 and 32 every year. You're not getting first round talent at those spots, and you really haven't gotten first round talent that late in the draft in years. I mean, because it's always about 20, you know, guys in the first round. If you're not picking in the top 20, you're really not getting a first round talented player, and so it makes it even more remarkable to see what the Chiefs have been doing every year with never really having it. Like, their last true first round pick, he said Trent McDuffie, they traded up to get, but probably Patrick Mahomes picking in the top 10. Like, their last true first round draft pick was Patrick Mahomes, and they've still been reloading and doing great things. It's amazing.
Yeah, the analogy I gave you yesterday was for the nerds that love fantasy football. It'd be like if you won your league every year and you didn't do a snake draft and you had to pick last every year in your fantasy football draft. So not snakes. So you're not going 14th, 15th, or 12th and 13th.
Right.
You're going 12th, 24th, 36th, yeah, like that. And yet you still find yourself in the championship game with a chance to win it, if not winning it. It's very impressive what they do with where they pick every single year and seem to find somebody that is, you know, an influence to the roster. Obviously, last year, Xavier Worthy, they trade up to get.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing last year. Your number one wide receiver on your team last year.
Right.
The year before, Rashee Rice, number one wide receiver on your roster last year. Both first-year players. This was Brett Veach on the chances they trade back because of the actual meat that could be later on in the tier two.
You know, I certainly have a tendency to be on the aggressive side and move up. Although it's interesting, as I just mentioned to Pete before, the numbers are a little bit down in regards to that top end, usually being 15 to 17. They're more from in that 12 to 14 range. So, you know, and then as I mentioned, Jesse, the secondary stack is a little bit bigger. So I think that there is probably just from a sure number standpoint, more of a likelihood that that could happen when you have, again, on the front end, the numbers, meaning 7.5 or higher on our grading system being low, but then that next 7.0 to 6.5 grading system, the numbers being higher, I think that from that standpoint, I think that could be in our wheelhouse and it might make sense to us. So we'll have to see. I think there's always, or at least it worked out that way in the last few years, been one guy. Worthy was one of those guys last year, but we'll see. But you know, I know that I've shown to be more aggressive, but I'm certainly open to it. And if it makes sense for us and we can acquire additional picks, that you know, I'd be all for it.
Be aggressive. Did was I there yesterday?
You know, I certainly have a tendency to be on the aggressive side and move up. Although it's interesting, as I just mentioned to Pete before, the numbers are a little bit down in regards to that top end, usually being 15 to 17. They're more from in that 12 to 14 range. So, you know, and then as I mentioned, Dusty the.
Wow. What was that? Yeah.
Dusty the.
Yeah.
I don't know. On the mind of the GM. But yeah, look, we've known this going into this draft. This is a rather weak draft class. Like, we look at the quarterbacks that are in this class. That's where kind of everything starts.
I was going to say, does that determine how strong people think the draft are by the quarterbacks, right? That's got to set the tone for everybody, right?
For sure.
Because, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that the best player in the draft is a quarterback, but your strength is normally built around your quarterbacks because that's the sexy position. That's what sells the draft. Like, you put the quarterbacks, like, I would assume on the cover of the draft picture will be Shador, Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, and Ashton Jeanty. And maybe Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter, yeah, so he'll be on there.
If they put five up, I feel like those are your five. Could be nine of your first picks, and then interest, gone, right? Once those guys are gone. Because what we know is, as of right now, what we think we know is that pick one is Cam Ward, pick two is Travis Hunter, pick three is Abdul Carter, and then after that, it's like, does Shador go ninth to the Saints? Does, you know, Ashton Jeanty go to the Bears? Does he go to the Cowboys? Does
Raiders?
You know, stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah, when's the first receiver taken?
That's all in the first.
Well, Travis Hunter will go number one or number two, probably.
Yeah, so the first real receiver.
But I think it does. It starts with the quarterbacks, and there are not a lot of household names at quarterbacks, and the ones that people do know aren't very good, right? Like, is where's Cam Ward in a normal year? He's not the number one overall pick in this draft.
I mean, at best, the fourth quarterback taken last
year. Yeah, like a nice quarterback. And that's where people, like, ruin their organization. Is they go out there and they draft these guys because they feel like they need to draft these guys at the top of the first round. Like, I really do believe, like, if you're Tennessee and you don't think Cam Ward is the guy that can turn your franchise around, there's no reason to draft that guy out there. You can get a quarterback next year, or, you know, go out and sign Aaron Rodgers. He's looking for work. And so there's other routes you can go. I don't know if he is or not.
He's in a serious relationship.
Yeah, with who? Himself?
Ooh, that's what he said. He's in a serious relationship.
Yeah. It's hard for a narcissist to be in a relationship. But I think with the quarterbacks being so nondescript this year, I think that really has set the tone. Like, I do feel like this year for the draft, I don't feel the buzz like there normally is for the draft. And I don't know why that is, but I guess you look back and you see there's not a lot of household names on there right now. And I don't know if this is going to be now the trend moving forward, where with NIL and all this kind of stuff and the portal, people don't really latch on to college players as much anymore. We don't really know the college player coming out anymore. I don't know what the case may be, but it just feels like this year there just isn't a lot of great talent coming out. And if you're trying to rebuild your organization and trying to do things in this draft to take you to that next level, it may be difficult for a lot of teams to do something like that.
Where there is talent, and something that we've kind of like been focusing on, is the running back class, which is probably the biggest bulk of talent there is in this draft outside of what, maybe
defensive
linemen, which are two needs for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure.
So it might be a weaker draft, but it could be stronger for the Chiefs. And this was Brett Veach on the running back depth in this draft.
Look, with all these players, you're a few bad weeks away from having no depth at all. I mean, I know I've always said the story a few years back of that defensive end position where we had a 2 or 3 week span where we lost multiple guys. And, you know, last year, Pacheco got hurt early on, and I mean, we always want to surround Pat with playmakers, and you know, the more talented wideouts you can throw on the field at one time is something important to us, and depth at running back, and look, this kickoff role too. I mean, ideally, you know, it would be advantageous for us to identify a receiver and or running back that has explosive playmaking ability on both ends. Remigio did a great job, but again, we're always pushing the envelope to get 1% better. And if we can add another dynamic element to both return phases, that would be something that would make sense. So it's not just wanting to continue to add explosive playmaking at the running back or the receiver position. It's also the return game. And so I do feel good about that running back stack. I think it's probably a consensus throughout the draft community and the work that you guys have all done, that there's a ton of running backs. And, you know, I think that there'll be a good chance that one of these picks ends up being one of those players, just because there's so many of them and they're all really good. And the discrepancies between the running back you have in fourth or fifth is really close, or fourth and third is really close. So I think there's a good likelihood that, you know, one of those players ends up on our roster, and hopefully they're a dynamic returner as well.
Chiefs are drafting running back in the third round with one of those.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, he spoke for a minute and 40 seconds on the running back. I would expect a running back to be a member of this
Heck
team
yeah.
through the draft. Now, what is really the return game anymore in football?
Well, they just changed it. So, like, it's different now.
Is that a area that we need to look at and get better at? Like, is the return game even part of the NFL anymore?
He says returning, I think about punt returning.
You do, okay.
Personally,
yeah.
And that's something that the Chiefs have been devoid of since maybe that Kadarius Toney punt return in the Super Bowl. Other than that, it's been a little bit rough. Remigio had some nice moments. So
I don't know who that is.
That could provide a spark.
Right. I guess.
I don't know who you just mentioned. I thought it was Young Joka.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. My mistake.
As he transitions. Yeah, 70 degrees, I know. We'll get to that here in just 1 second, but I do think running back does become a pick, but I just don't know how big the return game is anymore, like in the NFL. Like,
it's
I don't
not
know
it used to be.
Is it supposed to be better now? Like, they continue to tell us, like, oh, we're going to get more returns and more returns. Are we? I mean, I don't know what the numbers are on that. I think there's less touchbacks. They're trying to do away with the touchback, right, to make the game more exciting, but then they talk out of both sides of their mouth because they're talking player safety,
yeah.
Right? Like, touchbacks would be player safety, but that's not exciting, so the hell with player safety. We want to run the ball back. So if the return game is going to be a factor, then yeah, give me a running back that can be part of that return game too.
Explaining to people who Devin Hester was is like explaining to people that cigarettes were cool.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That was a thing? Oh yeah. After dinner, the men went into a room and had cigars or cigs and brandy.
In suits.
And yeah.
And the women got their slippers for them.
Yeah. And then it was like, there was this guy named Devin Hester. And it was like, every time Dante Hall, who's going to announce a Chiefs pick in this year's draft, they'll be like, what did he do again?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, here's what used to be the NFL. Like, they used to kick return back then, and it would change the dynamic of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Hester, the greatest to ever do it. Who's that?
Yeah. I mean, look, even Tyreek Hill was a dynamic returner for this organization. He was a returner before he was a wide receiver.
Special team. What was it? Return specialist? Is that what Jalen Ramsey
was? Return specialist.
Return specialist is what he was. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was a return specialist that went out there and, you know, cooked Jalen Ramsey that day.
But yeah, it's stuff like that that you can kind of see the tea leaves. Like, we hear the first cut, like, you know, I could be aggressive if it plays out that way, like, and I need to move up, or I could move out of the first round and just bulk up in the second and third round, where you have two picks in the third. You could then get two or maybe three picks in the second, and then just really, you know, try to find guys, because now it kind of makes more sense as this whole offseason unfolded, where it was like the Chiefs are just bringing everybody back. Yeah, because there's no impact player that's going to impact their roster outside of running back that you can get maybe in the third round, and why not have them sit behind or play behind a Pacheco and a Kareem Hunt, who at the start will probably be your 1-2 combo, and then all of a sudden you'll have this guy you draft in the third round with your first or second pick in that third round, and it's like, let's give the kid a chance.
Yeah.
See what he can do. He's dynamic. He's not the guy that needs to go through the tackles and get a, you know, first down, or through the guards and get, you know, 2 yards. That's what Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco are for. You have maybe that position to get. It's deep. It's loaded. He'd mentioned that. That's what everybody's talking about. People that do drafts, people that do, you know, football insiders. And he alludes to that. Like, you guys have done your homework. You know what the draft is and where the running back, you know, bulk is. And I mean, honestly, like, if you tell me, you know, the Chiefs, defensive tackle, running back, offensive tackle, where do your, you know, where's your hierarchy rank when it comes to those picks? I think we would all, gun to our head, say defensive tackle.
Yeah, defensive tackle.
And then I think you'd probably say running back, because you kind of need that skill set for this offense, in my opinion, to make Patrick Mahomes even that much better to go full scorched earth next year with this offense.
Whoever that running back is that they draft in the third round or whatever, he will be a household name by the end of the year. And I'm talking in Kansas City, maybe not outside of Kansas City.
By the end of July.
Well, no, but I mean, once the games start, because we're going to see attrition at that position. Look, Kareem Hunt couldn't last all all year last year. We know that. He fizzled out at the end. Obviously, the injury that we saw to Isaiah Pacheco, he never truly rebounded from that. So hopefully he's fresh and ready to go. But the wear on tear on him now is year four. And so you're going to need this running back. This is kind of now the transition. Like, if I'm Isaiah Pacheco right now, I'm calling my agent and go, get other teams on speed dial for after this season, because clearly they're going to be moving on from him at that running back position, right? So you're going to get that fresh blood. You're going to get a new fresh running back in there. And that's what you need to do with that position. You constantly need to change it over because the wear and tear is so heavy on those guys, especially two dudes like Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, who just risk their body on every single damn play. Like, they don't know how to preserve their body like, you know, Patrick Mahomes does when he runs the football, right? You just go out there and you just play with all reckless abandonment. That doesn't mean a long career in the NFL. So whoever they do draft, third round, set, whatever it is with the running back position, that guy will be a big part of what the Chiefs do. And by season's end, we'll be like, damn, thank God we drafted that guy. Whoever that guy may be, we're all going to be lauding Brett Veach for taking that running back, because I do think it's going to be an important kind of backfill to this team.
Chiefs legend of the past announced a retirement. His name is Kadarius Toney. As you call him, Carapius
Toney. Yeah, you can say Crappius Toney, but now he's a rap artist, so he's Carapius Toney.
He goes by the name of Young Joka.
Oh, I like that. Young Joka. Yeah.
Somebody says he should go by Waka Flocka 2.0 because he has no hands. Take the day, sir, ma'am, whoever you are. Have yourself a good afternoon.
Great job.
But you bring up the question, like, what other KC athletes are a punchline?
Because he is a punchline, right? I mean, I think if you bring up Carapius Toney, everybody's talking about, oh my God, this guy couldn't catch. One of the worst plays by lining up off sides, forced Patrick Mahomes to melt down. You know, this guy was inactive for the Super Bowl and didn't understand why he wasn't, like, a guy that had no self-awareness whatsoever. He's a punchline. He's kind of Ken Harvey style. Ken Harvey's a punchline here in Kansas City. When you think
Hans
Ken Harvey,
Harris.
Yeah, exactly. Demetrius Harris and, you know, guys like that. Over the years, you've seen them. D. Brown was another guy for the Royals that I kind of remember, man, as a punchline. But I think Ken Harvey is one of the biggest punchlines, because you think about that home run on that Friday night, but you also think about him getting hit in the back, colliding with Jason Grimsley, getting stuck behind the tarp. Like, all of those things happen to one gentleman on a baseball diamond, basically in the course of a calendar year. And so I think Ken Harvey is one of the biggest kind of laughing stocks punchlines when it comes to Kansas City athletes.
Did Dwayne Bowe become one after the incident with Sonic and the way his career ended in Kansas City?
Maybe a little bit of one. I think we remember Dwayne Bowe for Sonic and importing women more than we remember for that 2010 season where him and Matt Cassel were the hottest thing going in the NFL. You know, I mean, they were awesome together that year.
I think my top three moments I remember of Dwayne Bowe: number one would be, I'd like to thank the Clarks.
Yeah, the Clarks. Yeah. Yep, the thanking of the Clarks.
Number two is Sonic Open.
Right.
And then number three, becoming a rapper.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I know he had that big season where he had, you know, double-digit touchdowns and then got the contract, but, like, I always remember, I'd like to thank the Clarks.
No, it was, I deeply apologize to the Clarks, because that was the importing of the women's story in San Diego. Yep. He went to Sports Illustrated, for those who don't know, and talked about importing women into the hotel. And it was a really bad kind of thing. But of course, if you're Sports Illustrated, you're going to publish that, you know? Yeah. And so then he had to have this press conference. And I'll never forget being there and standing there. He goes, I'd like to deeply apologize to the Clarks. And I'm just like, oh God. And I know the organization still to this day thinks it's hysterical, you know?
It's funny.
And there's a band out of Pittsburgh called the Clarks. I tell you to play the music, but Specter would come in here with a ruler and hit you on the hand if you did that.
That hurts.
And so after he had said, I deeply apologize to the Clarks, the Chiefs reached out to the band the Clarks to try to get them to sing the anthem.
And it never
worked. But I mean, it was one of those deals. Like, you know, this band, the Clarks, we tried to get them to sing the anthem. I'm like, oh, that is unbelievable. Like, it went up that far. So yeah, Dwayne Bowe will always be that guy, the Sonic guy. Kind of, he's a lovable dope, is what I've always said. Like, I love Dwayne Bowe. You want to just give him a big hug. Kadarius Toney is just a dope.
When Dwayne Bowe went to Cleveland, I also remember he was like, I'm going to outdo my stats. Like, Kansas City's going to regret it. Yeah, sure. He had four catches for 44 yards on the whole season. Four catches for 44 yards.
Are those his real stats?
It was four catches. It might have been 50 yards, but I do remember that. Yeah, because he gave me a fist bump when he came to Kansas City.
Oh,
it was
right.
Awesome.
Should have given me something else when he came to Kansas City.
other
names that come into the text line: Mondesi is a punchline.
Yes.
Sky Moore.
Saw
a picture yesterday of him, like, at Pat Camp. I'm like, why is he there?
Well, he's trying to get better.
Yeah, I felt bad for Pat. I was like, Sky Moore, Remigio, Elijah Mitchell. I'm like, this is who we're giving him?
Well,
Pat Camp?
I mean, those are the guys that need the work.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know? Somebody says Ronelvis Hernandez is a punchline because he went to the DL for being fat.
He did, yeah. He told me one time in spring training, my wife is just such a good cook, I can't stop eating. I'm like, well, that's going to be a problem.
Good thing HUD doesn't see what he weighs.
Yeah, I know, right. See, that guy gained all the weight in the offseason. He had surgery. Still fat. Okay.
All righty.
Don't forget, with all this draft talk, you have less than a week to be there. Thursday, April 24th, the landing at Liberty, starting at 6 p.m. Pink and Unicero. Broadcasting live during the first round. Draft contest is back. $965 is the cash prize, plus an autographed Juan Taylor helmet as a prize as well. 1 point for a player drafted in the first round. 3 points if you get the right player on the right team. A sheet must be turned in prior to the number one pick on the clock, and the fan staff will be in attendance. Coming back on the other side, Bob's birthday is tomorrow, so wish Bob Fesco a happy birthday. Also, Bob saw a bumper sticker yesterday that, well, I should probably follow this car until the end of time. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on a Friday on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens all with you. Tomorrow is Bob Fesco's birthday.
Woo!
Somebody says I turned 41 on the 11th. Aries Power, buddy. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, Aries Power as well. Good Aries follow on Twitter, X, formerly whatever it's called now. And I enjoy reading what they say because everyone I look at, I go, hey, kind of identify with that. Yeah. So
from the 816, happy birthday, Bob. Your show has been a part of my day for many years. Thanks for all you do. Chiefs 17-0 this season.
Let's go, baby.
35-0.
35-0. That's right, 17-0. Let's go.
You should just change every score to like how older you get throughout life.
48-0 this year. Fine. 48-0 every game this year. Let's go.
Yeah. So
make it easier for us.
Big day tomorrow. Basically a Tuesday on a Saturday, hopefully.
I mean, we got to, I told you about the Fitbit party we're going to tomorrow morning, and then I get my choice of lunch where I'm going to take myself for lunch, and then we'll see what happens after that. It may dissipate after that. The rain really does put a damper into into everything.
Going
that really
be a
does
wet
stink.
Weekend. Get all your yard work done today, I can tell you that much.
And I'll tell you, my mother-in-law's birthday is on Sunday, so we kind of celebrate together as well. So happy birthday to Grand Pam, and you know, I'm sure she's 79. It was funny. When I met them and started dating my wife, we were having this conversation yesterday. Shout out Olathe East, won again, 4 straight wins this week.
Can they hit the baseball?
Some of these soccer players. There was a lot of hitting yesterday. These girls from Shawnee Mission North were like body checking our kids.
Damn.
I mean, if this was a boys' game, it would have gotten into
Guts
a fight.
Fight.
Absolutely
yeah.
would have been. I'm surprised my daughter didn't, to be honest with you, but she was good. And shout out Emmy, hat trick yesterday, so that was awesome to see.
Damn. Nice.
So yeah, her mother goes, I promised her Lululemon if she ever got a hat trick.
Damn.
Okay.
Oh boy.
She's like, that's great, but now I gotta go buy that.
You can
so
get
go
a tote
get Fitbit.
Yeah.
Get Fitbit instead. It's
exactly.
better.
There you go.
And so yeah, so 48 years old, 48 years young. So my mother in law, 79. When I first started dating my wife, they had a 60th birthday party for them. I go, oh my god, now you're 79. Like, where did that time
that's
go?
Crazy.
Just like that, man.
Yeah,
like,
mom's
geez.
Birthday on Sunday as well. So big birthday.
Your mom's
weekend.
Birthday's coming up
yes,
too. Momo's
Sunday,
having
yeah,
a birthday.
Momo,
nice. Happy birthday, Momo.
You taking her to Applebee's?
Oh, probably, of course. Only the finest
of Easter
dining.
Dusty.
Yeah, geez,
where the hell else
on.
Are you gonna go, right? So Momo and Grand Pam all celebrating on 420, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There it is.
Congratulations to them.
Hell yeah. You were behind a car yesterday that had a pretty interesting sticker
well,
on the back of it.
I did, and this is a great one. Milfin Ain't Easy was on the back of this car yesterday.
Praise
I was driving
baby.
Through Leawood. Out there I was on Knoll or Row or wherever I was yesterday, headed to the J to get my swole on yesterday. And I'm behind this Buick Enclave, which there you go, Dusty, right?
Hey.
Right for you. And it says I get behind this car and I'm like looking at it in front, I'm like, what does that Milfin Ain't Easy bumper sticker on the back of this woman's car. Was she hot? I don't know the answer to that question because I was following behind, but I did see big sunglasses and a little blonde hair. So determine whether or not if she was hot, right? And so I sent this to my kids and my wife, and you know, because if I would have sent it to my family, text with my parents, my mother would have been like, I don't know what Milfin is, and so then I would have explained that. And that's I sent this to my kids, and my wife is like, they would be mortified if I put this on my car. So I asked the girls, I go, what would you think of mom I'm rolled up with that. And they go, yeah, not good. Not good at all. I go, what if I put something like, you know, Dilfin on my car or something like that? How would you feel about that? Right.
Did they like that more?
No, not cool with that. So while it's funny for us to talk about, how does this woman's kids feel? You know, you're driving around like, you know, usually you know who the hot mom is, right? Like when you're a kid, oh, you know, Johnny's mom is hot and whatnot. But putting Milfin ain't easy on the car, man. I tell you what, you got high school kids, college kids. Like, is this Stifler's mom driving around Johnson County?
I don't hate it. I think it live your life. You know, if you own that, like if you've been called that, you probably are that. Throw that sticker on there. You know,
own it.
I mean, that's not the worst sticker we've seen on cars. We've seen worse.
No.
What was it back in the day? Like the Calvin and Hobbes guy?
Oh yeah,
pissing on the Raiders.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That was a good one.
That's a
great
one.
That's a really good one.
Anything
I like
political
that.
Never works because somebody wins, somebody loses, and then it's stuck on your car, and then you identify as like somebody, then you get road rage out of it. Never do political stickers.
Like if your candidate loses, take that bumper sticker off, right?
And then it leaves like, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of like putting a basketball goal in your driveway. It immediately depreciates the value of your home.
Right.
Like you put a bumper sticker on your car, it's like, no. Because now I've seen that people are ducking in their dashboards that aren't Jeeps anymore.
Like they are?
I saw it yesterday. There was like a Mercedes that drove past me, like an SUV Mercedes, and he had like four ducks in his dash. I'm like, you don't get to do that.
Yeah, you don't do that. That's a Jeep thing.
And I don't even duck, you know? Knuck if you buck.
Well, you'll find somebody soon. Oh, duck. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not the text that gets edited.
Oh, yeah.
From the text line, Stacy's mom's got it going on.
Yeah, she does.
Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. We lost one of those members during COVID.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's either their guitarist or their bassist.
Way to know the original band. Nice.
Yeah, Fountains of Wayne.
What do you mean the original band?
Well, because usually Bowling for Soup did a very popular cover. Everyone's like, oh, Bowling for Soup did this song. It's like, no.
What would you bowl for?
I'd foal for soup. I'll tell you that right now.
Would
you foal for soup?
Of course.
Get out to Foaling, 435 and State Line. FoalingKC.com. Reserve your lane now.
But throw it underhand.
You would foal for soup, right?
Of course, absolutely. What kind of soup are we talking about?
Well, that's the thing. Are we doing a nice clam chowder? No. Are we doing a rich, hearty gumbo? Are we doing a consomme?
Is gumbo a soup?
I don't know. It could be. It could be. What else would you call that? A gumbo?
Probably its own category. Yeah,
yeah,
it makes sense.
I mean, broccoli cheddar, yes. Potato, yes. Tortilla, for sure. Homemade chicken noodle soup, absolutely.
French onion soup, I would do.
Smash.
Yeah.
Literally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like French onion soup is, oh, God.
We'll just tell your mother we ate it all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Discontinued giggle cookies. I wouldn't eat that. That's a scary looking cookie on TV. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stickers that I've seen that are just because like then you always get those. Like,
it's better than the stick figure family stickers
that
the Joko moms are rolling with these days. Oh, I've got Aiden, Braden, Caden, and Jaden.
Oh, yeah.
Or, Mason and Grayson.
And then there's the little dogs on there, too.
Oh, yeah,
I like the ones. It's like the one I saw not too long ago was like dinosaurs. So, like, dad was T-Rex, mom was, like, a velociraptor, and then the rest were, like, little baby dinosaurs. Like, at least that's creative. Like, at least that's something different.
I've seen the Star Wars one with the family,
you know,
where they do that, you know, but
baby on board.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. That goes away in, like, 2 years.
Yes,
and
it
you
does.
You get to take that sticker off, and then by then there's a, you know, stained spot that says baby on board. I've never been a bumper sticker guy.
I haven't been either. You know, we bought, like, these magnets that say student driver, and we were going to put them all over the car, and boy, you thought they didn't want the Milfin is hard sticker on my wife's car. They did not want that student driver sticker. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not doing that to us. I'm like,
fair.
Why not? Why not? We're definitely doing that. People need to know you're a student driver. You're lucky I don't.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
Don't you glue reflectors all over your car?
You got a bumper sticker on the back of your car, Joe Dirt. Says, "Cowboys' butts drive me nuts." Speaking of driving you nuts, I'm going to drive Bob nuts on the other side because, well, it's Royals or it's something else, and it might be Max time to shine once again.
No. Sorry. Start hitting Royals, please.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.